everybody, and welcome. All thanks to LD Mobile. This, right around the nation, is NBL Overtime. Big week. It continues. We take a big, deep breath tonight, and then we're back into it tomorrow. We can't wait. The NBL playoffs are rapidly approaching. I'm Cam Luca, joined by the man who is now known as the legend of Launceston, Corey Homicide Williams. What up, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, you like it down there?
Loving life.
Number one ticket holder of the Jack Jumpers. That could be coming. Liam, Santa Maria, Studs and Duds. When is that? Not far away, I'm assuming.
Oh, hopefully out today, yeah.
Okay. NBL app, nbl.com.au. You well?
I'm good, man.
Good. Let's start where I tried to start last week and you two shut me down. But I did say, I tried to warn you, the Sydney Kings are going to make the playoffs and Adam Ford will be coach of the year. A huge weekend. They had opportunities to take on two teams. Firstly, the Phoenix, then the Hawks, that they're battling for positions 3 and 4, and they got it done.
Really good weekend from the Kings. Clearly the best team of the round. Casper Ware is killing. Not always putting up meteoric numbers, but coming up big in big moments. And this was a really good win over the South East Melbourne Phoenix. And it was a flat performance from South East Melbourne in front of their home fans, no doubt about it. But Jordan Hunter coming up big. Casper Ware, as I say, leading the way. And then they went home and they took care of business against the Hawks in overtime. So really impressive. They've been super resilient. Lachie Hutchison coming in. He got a little bit of garbage time minutes in the big win over the Phoenix, and then he came out and had to play in the overtime period in Wollongong and came up big in a big moment. So Adam Ford would just be thrilled with the way his team went about things this weekend.
Are you believing it, Corey?
Well, I'll put it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix stunk it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was an easy win to get. To come on the road and get it done against Illawarra, they were out. Justinian and Jessup. Now, credit Sydney for getting these two wins, because wins are wins, regardless of how you want to put it. But they've lost players, they mean in Sydney, early in the year. So this team that's on the court, the nucleus of this team, know how to play well already versus an Illawarra that just lost Jessup and Dangadel. They're done, right? There's no other options, real options, outside of Tyler to put on. Who's the next guy for Illawarra the day of two players going down? Who do you go to next?
Firstly, they lost Luzada last week.
Right.
Okay, but this is my point last week that I tried to make. I don't think Sydney, with this undermanned lineup, can get near Melbourne or Perth in a grand final or a semifinal series. But my point is, they're now third. Okay, so the teams they have to beat aren't playing well. Now, Phoenix had a big win. We'll get to them in a moment. Illawarra, for the couple of reasons you just mentioned.
Right.
Brisbane's just
done.
Don't have the energy.
Right.
And then you have New Zealand and Adelaide are probably too far back, as we discussed last week. So, look, they are great, but they only have to beat those teams around them that aren't playing good basketball to make the playoffs.
I think Phoenix will wake back up and secure their spot. And with the run Illawarra have at home, if Jessup comes back, which he's due back any day now, I'm assuming. Don't quote me on that, but I'm hoping that he'll be back soon. I think they'll be able to handle that run and Sydney won't make finals.
All right. Well, let's go to the Hawks because it is an interest. Oh, you want to go to Sydney just briefly?
No, I mean, I think you're right. I agree about South East Melbourne, although that was super disappointing in a couple of bad losses recently. Adelaide, Illawarra, the Kings. But, you know, they were double point wins.
Yeah.
You mean, to me, like you say, it's going to come down to South East Melbourne, Sydney and Illawarra. One of those three teams is going to miss out on the four. And no team, I think, has been more resilient this season than the Kings.
That is true.
And so you tip your hat to Adam Ford. And I know you're pushing this idea that if the Kings make the finals, he's the automatic coach of the year. If Trevor Gleeson, with this team, finishes top two and doesn't win coach of the year.
That's true.
That would be unbelievable. And every year, something else. Sean Dennis, you know, his team doesn't make the finals, but they were great. He wins coach of the year. Dean Vickerman, somehow he... Every year we overlook what Trevor Gleeson's getting done over in Perth, and we're just because we're used to it. If that happens again, that would be amazing. But having said that, I think it's a really good point because this Kings team have been incredibly resilient. And as I said, they've reflected that characteristic in Adam Ford.
Well, you mentioned it already. Illawarra have been, like a lot of teams, but Illawarra have been on the road for so much of this NBL 21 season, but they are going to get a long stretch of home games coming up. You still on their bandwagon to an extent, Corey?
I'm still on their bandwagon. They will make top four. I believe they will make finals.
Now, that's just based on Jessa. We can almost rule out Dingadel having huge major impact this year, right?
I agree with that.
Yep.
You know what it's based on? It's based on Brian Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Now, I know they've had a bit of a roller coaster. They got off to a great start. He made the point very early in the season after they got that fourth win in Queensland. He said, we're going to have some ups and downs, but no one can take these wins away from us. And they're going to come in super handy down the stretch. And they're going to go a trip to Tassie, and then they're going to have seven of their last nine games back at home. Can't believe that missed. Went halfway in. It was so good to have the legends in the house from that championship win. But that man makes the semi-finals in the NBL.
He does.
It's what he's done for two decades. Had a little bit of a break for a decade. He's come back, and I think he's going to do it again.
They're two games behind the Kings. Look, if they are able to find any of that form, and you're right, once you bank early wins, it helps you on the back end for obvious reasons. But they have to recapture that transition game where they're able to get easy buckets and good looks for Harvey and Jessa, because when teams make it a half-court game, it's a much different Illawarra team than the one we've seen earlier in the year when we were so surprised by them.
Can I just flag as well? The hits Please. Just keep on coming for the purple and gold.
Mm.
I'm hearing that Brad Newley's going to miss a few weeks.
Oh.
I know. Shocking news. I'm hearing he's hurt his foot during the last game and he might miss a few.
Could have raised that before I went so hard on them making the four. Let's talk about Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, because they have an interesting stretch. They had a pretty good win. And by that, I mean they just absolutely punched Cairns right in the mouth to kickstart Sunday afternoon and smacked them up 20 in the first quarter. We've still got Sykes, we've still got Brockhoff to come back and reintegrate into this team that's been fairly disjointed due to injuries and the roster makeup over the course of the year. I'll start with you, Liam, because you were big on them in the preseason. You still there?
Jeez, they let me down. On the regular, solid bounce back against the Taipans. They went in and got that job done right from the opening tip. I like this. Look at this, the full court pressure. Why are they bringing that against the bottom place team right out of the gate, but not against everybody else? This is why I've been high on them since the preseason, because I think that they can bring that against everybody. Now, it's a high-octane way to play, but, you know, they're deep. They're deep. And even with guys sitting out, Kiefer Sykes, Ryan Brokoff, they're still deep, and they can rotate bodies, and I'd like to see them up the floor more often than not defensively. But as I said, some really disappointing losses recently. A couple to Sydney, one the other day where they really weren't in the game at all. Lost to Adelaide at home, lost to Illawarra. So, I mean, I had them locked in a couple of weeks ago, and they just needed to kind of continue to roll at a good level to be able to stay in that place. But they've let themselves down over recent times, and it's been very disappointing.
Is it going to be, how hard's it going to be? Brokoff and Sykes, we know are legit players, and the interesting thing about Brokoff, he hit those couple of threes and it hurts the groin. And how they're going to have to integrate. They are deep, but they have to integrate them all almost on the cusp of the playoffs if they're the maker, which I still think they will. How hard is it going to be to be able to do that for Simon Mitchell and the coaching staff?
I mean, it's going to be difficult, but whoever's playing well is who I'm rolling with. So the guys that right now are on the court, you play well, we're rolling with you in the finals. Period.
You know the key to this team, Liam?
I need these shooters to hit. That's the key to the damn team.
I've raised this from the first game.
Shooters need to be consistent. Cam Glidden needs to show up every night.
He's their most important player.
He is their most important
player. When he plays well and is aggressive,
he got to pull up, man. He got to show up.
They're a million times better team.
Last year, he didn't show up. Half this season, I ain't seen him. I seen him sporadically. I need to see him consistent.
He was brilliant Sunday.
Ruben Tarangi, where is he?
He played pretty well against Cairns.
Yeah.
Throughout. Man, it's Cairns. They're dead last.
I feel you.
Like, we need you to show. Like, that game, it was my day off. Coming from Tassie.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful Launceston. Could have stayed home and watched it.
Yeah, did you?
Nah, I want to pull up. I want to come to the game. I left in the third quarter. I left at the end of the third because that game was over against the Kings. Highly disappointed because this was a team that I felt they should have beaten at home. That's a must win. Didi just left, go get him. And I left there disappointed. So good bounce back win, but shooters got to show up, man.
What was that like But was your phone still working this time when you left the game earlier? And like that grand final series a couple of years
ago? My phone died.
It died.
I told Bryce Cotton the same thing. It was looking for me. I know it. But my phone was working. I had juice.
You said I turned around. I was like, smoke. He was gone.
Don't hit me. You said before, I'm rolling with whoever's playing well, right?
Yeah.
This team that they've got out there right now is not winning a playoff series.
I agree.
They're not beating Perth or Melbourne in the series, right? The only chance they have to make some noise and win a semi-final series against one of those teams is if Kiefer Sykes is back as their starting point guard and playing back at a high level, and Ryan Brokoff's out there playing a full load of minutes, hitting a whole bunch of shots. So, I don't know. If I'm Simon Mitchell, when those guys are right, I'm putting them back out there. You guys are let's get everyone back understanding their roles and what we're going to look like in a finals playoff series. Kiefer Sykes is our starting point guard. Ryan Brokoff is our starting small forward. This is the team that we've put together, and get everybody comfortable in those roles. And it's great during the regular season, be like, wow, you've got to come back and earn your spot. That's your import point guard. Put him out there. That's your NBA fringe sharpshooter, your boomer marksman. Put him out there. Let's go see what they can do.
Where are
if
they?
If they are not healthy, it's pointless. They're going to lose anyway.
Where are they? When are they back? Do you know?
Kiefer Sykes has got a proper back issue right now.
So are we talking?
And that's the problem. Yeah. So if they make playoffs, that means the guys that are playing have stepped their level up. I'm not changing that for guys that's not healthy.
Well, you're a first-round exit.
I'm not changing it if these guys aren't healthy. Their first-round exit, I get it. Mm. But if they ain't healthy and they made it to the playoffs, that means the guys that are on the court have played well enough to get that to solidify that top four berth. Mm. So you're right. You know, both ways is right, where they need to be healthy and ready to go, because you can't risk those guys at that time of the year not being ready to go and mess around and get injured again.
Let's talk about the Breakers, because they are playing better. They dropped one they probably shouldn't have. In fact, they definitely shouldn't have last week to Cairns. They bounced back last night against Adelaide. There was a huge win, of course, 10 days ago against Perth. They're going home. You talk about home stretches for Illawarra. They're going back to their actual home country. That is obviously going to help them. Levi Randolph starting last night. It would be one of the most fairy tale stories in Australian New Zealand sport if they were able to make the playoffs from here.
Yep.
But they are definitely playing the best they've played all year.
Well, they played well last night. Yes. Enormous letdown against the Taipans.
Huge.
They're coming from so far back that they can't afford to have that.
That's true. They can't afford
to lose to the bottom team while you're trying to charge home and put together an enormous run to make the playoffs. And so that was, I think, really disappointing. Overall, you look at the weekend and you say, well, Adelaide and Cairns, they should get those two wins. And they didn't. They only got one of them. But you're right. They're still just within striking distance and they need to peel off a bunch in a row.
You spoke to Todd Webster last night courtside. The Websters are here, fast healers. His words, not mine. We expect him to play this weekend at least.
Saturday.
Yep.
He'll be ready to play Saturday. I love that dude. His energy, man. Mm-hmm. He is TV ready. He's made for TV.
Mm-hmm.
He's a genuine star, and he got the game to back it up. I just hope that he comes back next season for the Breakers.
You know who I hope we see back next season as well?
Mm.
Levi Randolph, Brandon Paul. They're both fun to watch.
Very fun.
All right, let's get to Josh Giddey. How could I forget? Sorry, Homicide, you've been on triple-double watch for so long and you were courtside.
Oh, man.
It was ironic. You were courtside. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Shout out to Giddey, man. Let me tell you something. I don't believe that we've seen a kid have this much pressure on him. You got to understand what was done the season before. So now there's some sort of expectation for a stud 18-year-old to live up to, whether you want to say it or not or believe it or not. The blueprint is there. Now, you got to follow the blueprint and you get to the promised land. And, yes, he's a triple-double threat, but he's never gotten a triple-double, okay? Until last night. 12, 10, and 10. I'm proud of the kid, man. This is not easy.
Youngest.
This is not easy. 18 years old and 6 months. The youngest Aussie to do it. He's the future of Australian basketball. Look, we've had big men that played in this league that's Australian, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've had Ozzie, you know, from the Bogut's, who went number one, Joe Ingles, right? Ben over there, but 18 years of age, playing in the pros as a point guard. You know what this does for the rest of the country and the future of these young players after him? Because there's way more point guards than there are centers.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to say, you know what? Josh Giddey could do it, so can I. He's going to breed a new school of ballers in Australia. So that's why this thing is way bigger than even him. He solidified lottery after getting that triple-double. Solidified, okay? You official. But what you are doing right now, whether you know it or not, for the youngins after you, if Josh Giddey can do it and take this pathway, so can I. That's the ripple effect of Josh Giddey and what he did last night.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, certainly motivating all those 6'9 point guards out there.
Facts. I mean, look, and guess where they go? Uh-huh. They usually go AFL, 6'8, 6'7, 6'6. I'm lying?
No.
Okay, then. So what they going to do now? There's a legitimate pathway to play pro, to make money playing basketball. If we did a poll right now, if we honestly did a poll, AFL players, and say, what was your true love? And if you had a choice to get the same amount of money, what would you play? What would that poll look like? You understand what I'm saying? It's a different day and age in basketball in this country. So for this kid, this is what I'm talking about, a ripple effect, what he's doing. There's going to be kids behind him that's going to say, you know what? I can play point guard and go to the league.
You keep on talking about how he's 18, and so you should, because it's easy to forget when you watch him, you know, and we can pick him. I was picking him apart last night, and the turnovers, 6 turnovers in each of his games this weekend, the defense, he needs to sit down and guard his guy. We did that with LaMelo too.
They're babies.
They're babies.
Yeah.
And to be out there in this league, the level of physicality that exists, the experience of a lot of the guys they're playing with, and be playing at that level is unbelievable. And the most amazing thing about it is the consistency. Yes, that's his first triple-double. Kid's averaging 10 assists per game over the past kind of 7-8 rounds. Unbelievable. And scoring and rebounding, he's been getting on the glass ever since we flagged that that's what he needed to do. And the guys, the 36ers, love playing with him. They love playing him. When the scouts and the GMs are going to call those guys, they're going to call Brandon Paul and say, you've been in the NBA, tell us about playing with this kid. He's going to say he's a joy to play with. No doubt about it. Daniel Johnson, Isaac Humphries all feel the same. So he's having an unbelievable year. And chatting with Jonathan Givony on the huddle last week, he's talking about how the top five is set. That's going to be those guys. But Giddey, I mean, that section between 6 and, say, 20, he could fall anywhere. And by continuing to play, continuing to impress, he's only moving up that board.
Hashtag NBL overtime to get involved. Josh Giddey won't be in this segment, but we've got a brand new. It's called The Price Is Going
The Up. Price is going up.
Isaiah Leafa, there you go. These are all obviously free agents going into next year.
Oh, my God. All the GMs.
There's some
Tommy, news. Sorry, Tommy.
Hey.
But the price is going up, baby.
Hang on. Wait. Wait 2 seconds. Roll the vision. Roll the vision and then you can fire off, Corey, because I think the first one was going to look at is Isaiah Leafa.
Oh, man, this is the young fella. Look, have we ever seen a DP in this league drop 29?
Nope.
He's the first.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity came his way when Sykes went down. He had an opportunity to start playing in the NBL Cup. And he's played 10 games and he's been double figures in 5 out of 10 games. 14. 29, 10, couple of games. He's had 8, 6, and 4. The game before, after that, he had 9, 4, and 3. When he's had opportunity to play, he's taken full advantage of it. And guess what? The price is going up. There's teams that want him. And look, if I'm a GM, word on the street, I got something good. Word on the street, that team down in Tasmania is going to be looking at him. So when I tell you the price is going up, the price is going up for Isaiah Leafa.
Speaking son of a guns, there's a guy in Cairns right now playing well, Liam.
No doubt about it. Tad Dufamaya Jr. Not a DP this year, was last year, but he's been sensational as well. Talk about grabbing your opportunities. He has been unbelievable. And He's going to be in the mix down there in Tassie as well. They're going to end up...
a whole lot in the mix in Tassie.
They're going to end up with a really solid backup point guard, whether it's Dufamaya Jr. or whether it's Liafa or even whether it's Kyle Adnam, whether they go that path. But this kid, look at... How about the shot he hit?
That solidified the price going up. To be shot maker.
To beat the Breakers. And he's... I mean, he's bona fide. He's ready to play.
Yeah, he's ready.
Minutes every single game as your backup PG. That was all kinds of clutch. And I love it. I mean, he's not a... We call him a young... He's 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has been grinding.
Yeah.
And waiting for this opportunity. You see how fit he is.
He's fit.
And he's... This is the moment he's been waiting for years and years and years. Playing at the NBL One, playing as... Been a training player, ready for his opportunity. And he's grabbed it with both hands, and I love it.
Next is the captain of the All Green Light team, Joel Chul, who is having an outstanding season, but... He has been given green light by Dean Vickerman, and he takes it. It's great to see.
I mean, that just goes to show you the level of appreciation and respect this world-class championship-winning coach has for Joel Olachul Jr. When you get on the court, do your thing. Mm. The whole team, let him rock. It's his time. So the numbers that he's been able to put up in a short amount of time, like he's not playing 25, 30 minutes a game. He's going in, he's getting a hot 15 to 18 minutes, and off you go. And everybody on the team, Chris Gould and Jock Landale, Mitch McCarron, everybody's like, yo, it's your turn, you do your thing. So that's love in itself. Now, with Jack White out, now he's starting and getting more minutes, so he's just that much confident. If you saw, he goes, play of the game. I'm sorry, but he's getting way more minutes. Yeah, so when you think about it, him coming in off the bench, that's a luxury to have for any team, let alone Melbourne United, who's already super stacked. But his post-game interview, he was like, look, I feel I'm unstoppable anyway. So it's all it. Good. It's so supposed good. To go like this. Love it. His price is going up too.
A little tweak about this segment, because we're going to talk an import.
Hold on. Let me just talk about JLA for a moment. Okay. Right. Because I want to, we'll get to John Mooney, the Moondog.
Yeah.
The Moondog. Sounds like a beer.
Not a bad idea, actually.
JLA bursting at the seams in his current role, right? Ready to be unleashed by somebody somewhere. And that team down in Tassie for
Tassie!
Me.
Everybody's going to...
Well, come on, man. They're going to need to sign some guys. They're going to need to sign some guys, right?
Every free agent.
And so whoever's going to come in as the new CEO of Melbourne United, your first job is to sit down with JLA's representatives and try to convince them that you will be the team to offer him that bigger role, because he is bursting at the seams. How many players in the league are better one-on-one weapons at the offensive end than JLA? In the block, facing up off the elbow, attacking off the entrance. I mean, the man can
he
do it all.
He off the rebound, bringing it up. Go down. Don't worry about it. I got this.
And he's instant offense. It's a beautiful thing, and it's going to be huge in the playoffs. When they played last year in the NBL-NBA games, they played the Clippers, they played Sacramento, he was the guy that impressed Chris Golding, of course. Doc Rivers is talking to his team in the locker room about Chris Golding. Joel Olachul looked perfectly at home because he's so skilled, but he's also got that NBA length, and he could really score at that level, and he's showing he can get buckets in a big way here. Next year... I mean, he's going to a much bigger level.
And on top of that, he finished that game with 5 blocks.
He did. Now, this makes me nervous because I'm afraid the Red Army are going to lose their absolute mind if Rhea links John Mooney, the Moondog, to Tasmania. Fire away. And we needed to be quick here.
Well,
we're running out of time.
Yeah, this is an import whose price is going up. You sign him as a rookie out of college, you get him on a pretty good deal, but his agent, Bryce Cotton's agent as well, will know that if you want to re-sign this man, you're going to need to come to the party. And Jonathan Givony on the huddle last week said, is he on a one-year deal or a multi-year deal? I said, 1 year. He said, oh, too bad, Wildcats. He's going to the EuroLeague if he's not in the NBA.
I say he's going to the NBA. This league has proven to be a legitimate pathway. If you are a star in this league and that man, first team All-NBL, 100%. You are a star in this league and dominate. You are legitimate. You can transition to the NBA on a team somewhere.
Resign the man.
Yep.
As soon as possible. Give him the NBA out. If he doesn't make a squad over there, he's coming back to you.
All right. On a serious note, just wanted for a split.
So what? None of this was serious?
That's very serious.
We would
very
serious. You think we were messing around?
No, but I'm moving on to something a little more serious because I've been copping a lot of heat on social media in the last week or so. In fact, in the last week, from bosses all around the country who said that I was leading a bad example to people leaving their job early. Last week in NBL Overtime, I ducked out early to go to JD Sports. So for people around the country, I wasn't, and in particular kids, I'm not encouraging you to leave your job early. Unless, of course, it leads to success.
Did you get the horns?
Got the horns.
Oh, wow, so, man.
So look everyone at that. Who's hit me up, all thanks to JD Sports, for all the bosses who were saying, that's not a good example to lead. I've got a good example. If it gets you these kicks, leave.
Oh, my God.
JD Sneaker of the Week, Lukey Travers. Mm. Well, don't leave training early, my man, but he's got the... are they the Greeks?
They're nice.
Those are the Greeks. Those are the Greek freaks.
He's got the initials on there, JH. Yep. I think he's shouting out a late cousin.
Yes.
So some sentimentality involved there as well, but he's bringing the fire, no doubt.
Now the JD Sneaker of the Week, all thanks to JD Sports, the undisputed king of trainers. God. And they've doubled down this week with the latest Air Jordan drops. And these colorways are remarkable. They're the Jordan Force, the greatest shoe of all time. University Blue, they are dropping tomorrow. And then, there you go, the 13 Red Flint are dropping on Saturday. So the Air Jordan 4, the Blues, tomorrow, the 13s, Saturday. Select the JD stores, JD online, jump on. You've got to get involved, jd-sports.com.au. And I'm telling you right now, leave work early to get them. Top 10 play of the week, let's do it.
Round 15 has been seen. Now it's time for Reality Mobile NBL Top 10. At number 10, it's Melbourne on the fast break, and look at what's unfolding from Chris Golding. A behind-the-spine dime topped off by a little hang time from Mason Peatling. The 36ers get divided by United as Adelaide gets played by CG43 at number 10. Moving along to number 9, where Tom Abercrombie, with just a little hesitation before flying high for the detonation. It's New Zealand coming in from the ceiling as Abercrombie hammers the rock to beat the shot clock. That gets in at number 9. At number 8, it's Casper Ware on the shake and take, and there's just no manual to learn this pass to Daniel. Casper with the no-look flip to kicker, who finishes the safe way to make sure Casper gets the number 8 play for the Sydney Kings. Defense gets in at number 7 as Brandon Paul tracks back to smack that shot by Sam McDaniel. Brandon manhandling this effort as he takes flight and lands the volleyball spike to get in at number 7. At number 6, Scott Machado tossing that old avocado down to Nate Jawai, who proves he can still fly. Rob Lowe gets caught in the undertow as the Cairns big man gets the slam that lands at number 6 for the Taipans. We're up to number 5, and with the game on the line, Vinky goes flying. Number 45 is a live wire making Corey Webster perspire. This one went to replay, and for that, the Breakers fans had no choice but to rejoice because Venky Joyce's clean block wins the game at number 5. Another late game situation at number 4. Shot clock winding down in the closing seconds of OT, but that's when the Sydney Kings delivered a huge 3. Craig Mahler is a baller. He had no choice but to take the shot, and you know he's big time because he gets it to drop for number 4 for the Sydney Kings. More late game heroics at number 3 as Mitch McCarron showing off more hang time than an ancient grapevine, and with the contact, he earns a trip to the line. Just a beautiful reverse layup that was enough to seal the game for Melbourne, getting in at number 3. At number 2, man, we all miss Space Cam, but check out this Venky slam. The new signing, putting the league on alert as he hits pay dirt. Busting loose with the truth from the roof, Joyce gets in again at number 2 for Cairns. But at number 1, in his first career start, he just breaks New Zealand's heart. Ted Dufelmeyer doesn't mind the pressure amplifier of a late game situation, as without hesitation, he just drills this tray for the number one play as the Taipans win the game and land at number one on the NBL. Turn it.
Well, thanks to LD Mobile, top 10 plays. If you missed it or you want to see it again, at NBL, all the socials, NBL.com.au, the NBL app. See ya.